Welcome to Slingstones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
Today we're going to begin movement toward the second aspect of our growth in Christ. We've talked already for three sessions on the idea of awakening and how important it is that we allow the Holy Spirit to come into our lives and awaken us to the dynamics of the kingdom and the wonder of Christ and what it means to meet God in the present moment and how to allow the true self to come alive and the deep awakening that can happen as we start to spend more time in community. Well, today we're going to move from that and we're going to start talking about abiding. Now, as we do talk about abiding, I think it's important for me to say that if we're trying to abide without awakening, it can become more duty than passion. It can be more effort than it is rest. And that's why I think it's important that we recognize that this notion of awakening begins to influence and feed into our positioning before the Lord to spend some time abiding with Him. Now, if you've even been a Christian for an afternoon, you've probably run into the scripture out of John 15 that talks about how important it is that we learn to abide in Christ, how we learn to make our home, our spiritual, our emotional, our psychological, our relational home in the heart of Jesus. That's part of what it means to be abiding. And so I think you can see as we begin to move more toward abiding and less toward awakening, that awakening is something that really empowers abiding. It feeds abiding. It draws us into abiding. It energizes abiding. And when we're not awake, it's more performance, more effort, more hard work to try to spend time abiding, and as many people talk about it, having your devotional life. Well, I don't want to just have a devotional life. I want to have a life of devotion. And a life of devotion comes as the Holy Spirit begins to animate our hearts to draw closer into Jesus. And so that's going to be our conversation for the next couple sessions. We're going to talk about what does it mean to abide in Christ, what are some of the issues that make that difficult, and how we begin to understand abiding at a deeper level. Now, we're going to do something a little different. I'm going to read the passage of Scripture from John 15 about abiding. And as I do, I'm wondering if you could look to see if there are any words or phrases that particularly stand out to you, because this would be a good beginning point for us. And also, I think it's important to do what I did this morning as I sat down here. Invite the Holy Spirit to come. Invite Him to be present with you. Invite Him to animate, if you will, to enlighten, to inspire, to awaken you to what it is He wants to speak to our hearts about this notion of abiding. So if you're driving along in a car, it might be a little hard to close your eyes. I wouldn't want you to do that. But if you could just take a couple deep breaths and say, Holy Spirit, make me present to you. I'm going to read the Word of God right now that comes out of John 15. These are the words of our Lord Jesus. And I want you to pay attention to see if any word or phrase particularly stands out to you. You might want to write it down. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because servants do not know your master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love one another. What a wonderful and rich passage of Scripture. It's neat to think of Jesus speaking that to our own hearts. Imagine ourselves there as the Lord was speaking these words to his disciples. There's a couple of phrases that jump out to me. The whole idea of the Father being the gardener, the idea of a gardener who's attentive and who's nurturing, who is making sure that the soil is fertile and there's enough water to be able to enliven the plants. He is the gardener. The Bible says that Jesus is the vine. The vine is the source of life to every branch. And then some of these other scriptures, remain in the vine, be pruned, be willing to lay down life as you know it so that you can bear more fruit. We can ask whatever we will. And I love this passage. I chose you. I chose you. That's Jesus speaking. He looks across the world and he sees you. And he says, I choose you. And he doesn't just choose you to then go and minister in his name, but he chooses you to abide with him. I think our hearts long to make our home with Jesus. I think we long to actually find our rest in the heart of Christ. We were made for that. It even stirs up emotion, and the Spirit, I think, comes alive when we begin to think about this. I know that many of us have trouble spending time in quiet with the Lord, but I think our deepest heart, the place where the light of Jesus is alive inside of us, where our true self is really encased in heavenly light, I think that we long to be close to Jesus. It actually stirs up within us. Maybe you evaluate yourself right now. Is that true of you? No matter how much you're struggling and how hard it is to maybe set aside time with the Lord, or maybe you've wandered some from the path of Christ, when the Holy Spirit is awake within you, there is something that happens in that you begin to long to be with Jesus. You know, I mentioned to you that you would pick out what word or phrase may be there that especially stands out, but I think also, what is the invitation that the Holy Spirit has for you coming out of this passage of Scripture? Now, let me talk about some obstacles that we can face when we begin to think about abiding. And of course, I want us to already recognize that the notion of not being spiritually awake is going to be a major obstacle. It becomes then our effort, our duty, we must perform. And so I think we need to start right there. This is the first thing that makes it hard, an obstacle abiding, is when we're not allowing ourselves to move in the flow of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. And so that might be a good place to start, is simply to say, Holy Spirit, come within me, stir within me this great hunger for the kingdom so that I am drawn to abiding. See, abiding should be the first place we run and the place we stand and stay the longest, because we were made for that. I mean, no branch can exist unless it's deeply integrated into the vine. For the branch to have life, it must be connected to the vine. For us, as followers of Christ, to be alive, we need to be connected to the vine. Now, here's the good news. If you've invited Jesus into your heart, you are connected. The issue is, have you allowed yourself to really come into that place of abiding so that it could nurture you? So I think that's the first thing. We've got to be asking the Holy Spirit, awaken us so that our abiding is really alive because of the Spirit's presence inside of us. I think here's another thing that makes it really hard to abide, and that is embracing the values of the world. We've talked about this before, but I think I want to add another thing to it here, and that is that we live in a culture that is really contrary to the kingdom. Eugene Peterson said that we can become slaves to a de-souled culture. De-souled. The soul is ripped out of it. In this world, we find that people are impersonal, driven often by their own selfish desires and quick to grab new techniques and what is convenient. But when it comes to Jesus, the values of the kingdom are about love and grace and mercy, the incarnation of kingdom life. I saw an interesting note on the news the other day. Actually, it was on the internet news, and it was talking about values. And there was a quote from a particular leader in our country that said that when somebody hits them, he hits them very bad. He hits them back hard. He wants to make them pay. And then they gave a quote from Jesus about laying down one's life, about loving one another. And so it's hard to abide in the heart of Christ if we're living according to the values that are at the heart of the world. And those can seep in. It's very easy for us to begin to pursue power and prestige and privilege and possessions in a world that prioritizes that. But when you do, all of a sudden it becomes more difficult to abide in Christ. And so we can ask the Lord to look at us and to, in some way, help us, search us. Are there places in our lives where we've embraced the values of the world and it's making it difficult for us to abide in Christ? So two things so far that I think are very important. One, are we asking the Holy Spirit to awaken us to, if you will, again, animate our spiritual lives so that the energy is flowing toward abiding? And are we living by the values of the kingdom or the values of the world? The values of the world become a big obstacle. Here's another obstacle. And when we talked about the awakening of the true self, I spoke a little bit about how we can begin to develop a projected self where we take pieces of our talents and our abilities and our passions and our spiritual gifts, and we begin to use them in a way to control and manipulate the world. Do you know that the more we live out of the projected self, the further distance we have from the true self, it becomes difficult to abide? See, God wants to abide with us at the place of our true self, the deepest place of who we are, both in the uniqueness and also the woundedness. And so if we're out there trying to gain ground by using strength in a way to intimidate and intelligence in a way to manipulate, well, it's hard then to abide with Christ. Because just like oil and water don't mix very well, so it is in terms of the true self really draws into Jesus, but the projected self moves away from Jesus. So this becomes another place where we can begin to talk with the Lord about how have we allowed ourselves to develop a projected self, a way of manipulating and controlling the world to try to measure up in the eyes of others that really becomes an obstacle to deep abiding into the heart of Jesus. I think that's an important thing for us to talk about. Okay, here's another. I think it's important for us to recognize that if we're not secure in who we are in Christ, that can become an obstacle to really abiding. You see, the Christian life is not about transactions where we do good things so God does good things back to us. And if we do something wrong, then God does something wrong back to us. The message of the gospel is amazing in that it says that when Jesus came here, he came in order that we could be known as the children of God. The foundation of our identity is child of God. All of our core longings can be met because we are his children. And when we are insecure in our identity, once again, we begin to dive into performance and all those other P words, privilege and possessions and power to try to secure ourselves. Well, another thing that happens in identity insecurity is we become controlled by the agendas of other people, those that are all stirred up emotionally and that are trying to control our world, all of a sudden begin to call us off from what's most important in our lives. And so this becomes another obstacle that we begin to face that can really throw us off when it comes to wanting to grow deeper in Jesus Christ. So far what I'm saying is abiding is about living in the heart of Christ, finding there our rest, our strength, our life, our fruitfulness. But there are some obstacles before we even go deeper. And the first one is, if we don't understand awakening and allow the Holy Spirit to continue to open our eyes and our heart to the wonder of the kingdom, it's hard to then go abide. Also, if we're embracing the values of the world and trying to live by what the world says is a priority, if we've created a projected self that is really out there trying to control and manipulate, and if we're insecure in our identity, all of these things can be obstacles, if you will, to growing deep in Christ. By the way, I want to mention it again, the new book that I have out called Identity Matters. We've had a great response to that. I also do a seminar that I'll be doing in the fall in a few places. And I think it's foundational to the notion of abide. When you begin to know who you are in Christ, what's hidden inside of you, your true self hidden in glorious Holy Spirit light, and you begin to allow that to come alive within you, all of a sudden you begin to find that abiding is the place you want to run to and stay the longest. Well, let me mention one other obstacle, if you will, to abiding, and that would be the term an unseized life. An unseized life. I remember years ago reading what was a very good book by Gordon MacDonald, and he talked about some of the characteristics of a life that is not organized according to proper priorities. And a couple of things he said is that when we begin to respond to every little urgency in someone else's mind as a true emergency, then we're called away, our life isn't seized. When we are not setting aside time for rest, for deep relationships, for growth, that could be an unseized life. When we're allowing dominant people in our world to control our agenda, that can also be an unseized life. And what we end up doing is we end up weakening ourselves by not being able to establish proper priorities. There was a very influential and brilliant man that taught at the Fuller School of Psychology. His name was Archibald Hart, and he talked about several crises that are being experienced among people in these days. And one of the things he said is that people are experiencing a crisis of priority. They're not majoring in major issues. They're not spending their best time in the best things. Well, I know that's been true of me. At times, I have allowed myself to be caught up in the agenda of other folk rather than being faithful to fill my well in the presence of Jesus and then more effectively go out and serve other people. So you can see that this notion of abiding, boy, it's so much more than simply somebody telling you need to have a devotional life. I mean, having a devotional life is great if it leads to a life of devotion. But having a devotional life as a way of checking off the box that I did it today and then moving on to live my life the way I have is not what God had in mind. The whole idea of being attached to the vine is the notion that I am deeply integrated into the life flow of Jesus. And that when I'm integrated in the life flow of Jesus, it then comes in and it enlivens my life as a branch that then flows out into fruitfulness. And that bearing fruit is more than being productive for the kingdom. Bearing fruit has to do with me living according to the values of the kingdom, where I'm at rest under the reign and rule of God because I've come to the place of learning how to abide in Him. So this notion of abiding becomes very, very foundational to us as we begin to move forward to talk about what does it really take to be a follower of Jesus Christ who prioritizes abiding in his or her life. Okay, so we've begun. This is where we're going to start. I think that we'll spend a couple more weeks on this notion of abiding. Again, to be repetitive, I guess, remember that abiding is the outgrowth of awakening. And as we say yes to the various awakenings that God wants to work in our lives, over and over and over again, it begins to flow into a richer and deeper experience of abiding. Well, I pray God's blessing on you. I hope you sense God's delight and face shining on you until we're together again.